Hey man, what is going on? How are you doing? Welcome. Alright, if you could please head on down to the show notes, hit the subscribe button, click on the links, go to them places, like, follow, subscribe, share with a friend, let me know what you think about the show, please. Okay? Let's on with the show here. I want to talk about what to carry. Okay? Because, like, me and my situation is, you know, I'm a delivery guy. That's what that noise is in the background. Been over this a few times, and it is kind of part of what drives me to hold on to a bit of this prepperness, this survivalistness, right? Because there's not a great possibility, not a strong possibility, but there, you know, it's possible that, you know, Tulsa is like 3 hours away, right? And, you know, something happens. Aliens invade, zombie apocalypse, the grid goes down, riots. Pick a scary scenario and run with it, all right? And I'm a three-hour drive away at 70 miles an hour for most of it, okay? That's a really long walk, man. And I Googled it. I got on Google Maps and told me that it was going to take like 4 or 5 days to walk, right? Now that's not waking up in the morning after a restful sleep. And walking, you know, at a leisurely pace or whatever, right? That's starting right now and walking at this pace for 4 or 5 days straight. No stopping, no sleeping, no resting, no nothing, right? The more you sleep, the longer it's going to take to get there, right? The more you hunt, the more you gather, the more you build fire to make for potable water, the longer it's going to take for you to get home. So I took these things into consideration, right? That I have a bit of a prepper mindset. I have a bit of a survivalist mindset. I have a bit of a, I like to be ready. You know, I would like to think that I can get myself into a position where I can go anywhere and take my backpack with me and pretty much any situation arises, I'll be all right. I don't have a firearm, I don't have a sword, I don't have anything like that. I don't even have a machete or a big scary knife or anything like that. I just, you know what I mean? I need to get home. In the prepper world, it's called get home bag, right? But I want to mix something like that up with my everyday carry, so that if something does happen, I'm prepared. I'm ready. I can ease my suffering. I can ease the suffering of the people around me, which is, you know, hope, if I'm in Tulsa, hopefully it's not my family. You know what I mean? But I want to stay light, and I want to stay mobile. I want to have a bare minimum amount of stuff, and know that I'm going to be okay. And then also take that mindset and say, all right, look, I've got myself set up in a situation where I, you know, this is all I'm really going to need between now and the week or 2 weeks that it's going to take me to walk from Tulsa back to my house where my family's at, so that we can meet up and figure out what happens next.
And maybe, you know, I'm
assuming that we've already made plans of something's happening, and they're already moving on to the next thing, and has left some sort of a coded message behind to say, hey man, we went to this place, and then from there we're going to the next place. Try and catch up. Necessarily want to get into all that right this second, but that's something to think about. Okay, mostly want to focus on the minimalism aspect here, but to have a bag that I can carry around that has, the bare minimum amount of stuff that, you know what I mean, that I can just, like, oh crap, you know, the zombies are here, right? I don't want to go into that scenario. But, oh hey, look, here's the zombies. Let's go over there and play with them. I want to get out of Dodge, right? And I want to do it quick. And I want to get, you know, I want to get the 200 plus miles from Tulsa back home as quick as possible. And I don't want to do that with 80 pounds of gear on my back. I don't want to have to, you know, see where I'm going at. And then once I'm at that point, and I know I can make it without all that other stuff, right? It becomes this idea pops in my head that, well, if I can do that every day, you know, for a couple of weeks, if that's possible, if I could, you know, just have, you know, a little something to boil water in, or a filter, a water filter, or a water filter that's in the pot, so that I can filter the water, and I can boil the water, and I can, you know, I can do so much with that little pot, right? And I've trained myself to have the ability to see, oh look, that plant right over there, that's food. And I've got a bag that has quite a bit more space in it, and I can put plenty of that plant in my bag, and I can carry it with me, and I've got food with me. Oh look, I'm going through this town here. You know, kind of digging around through the scraps and all. Like, I want it to be that I am most reliant upon Mother Nature, upon the earth to provide what I need as far as food and water and possibly even shelter in a situation like that. You know what I mean? I don't want to have to rely upon going into a town, going into a building that is, you know, possibly booby-trapped or possibly being watched, and they watch me walk in, and nobody ever watches me walk back out. You know, and that's the end of the trip. All right. I don't want that. What I want is to be able to go. Right? I want to know that that plant is food, that plant is poison. I want to... There's a whole bunch of things that the more you carry in your head, the less you carry on your back, right? To be in touch with nature. That civilization has fallen and is now over, and to fall back on Mother Nature and know that Mother Nature's got my back, right? Mother Nature's growing food. Mother Nature's got water. Mother Nature's got shelter in the form of trees. All right. Now, yeah, I'm gonna be wanting to carry some supplemental. Right. I'm gonna want to have, you know, my own little shelter that I carry with me, whether it's my poncho and or a tarp. You know, I want to train for these things. I want to be able to tell myself that if this were to happen in real life, that I'm capable. I know what I'm doing. I can walk, you know, from, you know, like however many tens of miles, maybe even 100 miles, you know, and, you know, live off of what I've got on my back. I can walk from Springfield to Joplin, or I can walk from Joplin to Tulsa. You know what I mean? And be safe. And be fed. You know what I mean? That's having that mindset and having those skills to be able to do that, because it's not as easy as just saying, okay, I'm going to do this, here it is, I win. Okay, there's some work involved, there's some skills to be learned, there's some training to keep up with, and, you know, that's the thing that motivates me as far as being a prepper, as far as being a survivalist, as far as a person that wants to be more a part of nature instead of apart from nature. You know what I mean? Know what I'm saying? Saying, know what I'm saying? So what are these items? All right. I'm looking at this with a halfway to barely know what I'm talking about kind of mentality. All right. I don't really know what I'm talking about. All right. I've watched a lot of that show Alone. I've watched a lot of those types of shows. I've watched a lot of videos and read lots of books. Right? I got a half-hearted amount of information in my head. It's all theory and no practice. All right? Maybe a teeny tiny amount of practice. All right? And that teeny tiny amount of practice to extrapolate from there might do me some okay, you know. Like, I might be okay, but, you know, like trying to go with speed in the idea of getting from Springfield to Joplin. You know, I think that's going to be my how do I say? My wow moment. That if I can do that, if I can walk from the east side of Springfield on Highway 44, which is like exit 83, 85, something like that, the 65 and 44 intersection there, to be able to walk from about that area to Oklahoma, alright, that's 80 plus miles, alright, maybe 90 miles, right? To be able to do that, I think that's kind of a longer range goal that will be able to tell me that I have a better understanding of what it is that I can do. You know, I almost want to say that I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing if I can make that walk. Right? That 90 miles, if I cover, you know, 20 miles a day, it's like 5 days. If I cover 30 miles a day, you know, see where I'm going. And if I can do that, right, then I don't want to brag and be boastful, because I know that education never stops. I know, never stop learning, never stop fine-tuning your skills. So I don't feel like I would be able to say the words, I know what I'm doing, right? But I would prefer to say that I have a better understanding of what it is that I'm doing. See how I do that? I don't ever want to claim to say I know everything. Even if I do. Even if other people, even if I get myself to a position where other people call me an expert, I won't call myself that. I think that even if you are at expert level at anything, there's still more to learn. As long as you're alive, as long as you're breathing, air's coming in and blood's going round and round, you've got more stuff to learn. Right? So keep learning. Don't stop at being expert. Don't stop when somebody says, boy, you're an expert at this. Okay, I plan on replying back. I still got more to learn. So I don't know what that plant is called and whether or not I can eat it. I know that I can pause every few miles underneath these overpasses and get some shade. You know, and I may have a prepper, survivalist type of mentality, right? But I don't want it to be that's what I'm called. You know, as I dig in deeper, you know what I mean? As as I dig in deeper and I learn these skills and I apply these skills, and these skills become this thing that I do, and it's how I live my normal, average, everyday life. And I start letting go of a lot of the materialistic crap that is our everyday life and civilization and whatnot. And I get more and more in tune with my inner Sasquatch. I don't want it to be that I'm called a survivalist. That's how I live. That's how I go throughout the day. God, like my hat. I love my hat. Right? I've had a hat like this for years. I've actually gone through 3 of these hats in my marriage. And I've been with my wife for 14 years now. Yeah. I've been with her 14 years. We've been married for... No. Well, we've been together 15 years. We've been married for 13. No. We were married in 2009. Married in 2009. So this is 12. We've been married 12 years. I've known her 14 years. Anyway, I've had the same kind of hat. You'll see it in my videos, the Cabela's hat. They may have some of the most expensive gear on the entire planet at their store, but the hats that they give away for free are fantastic. I love these hats. They fit my head awesome. Because I have a ginormous head. Right? But I see... You know, I see other hats. And I see... How do I say? Like the sombrero type hats. That they've got the extra wide amount of brim on the sides that cover up the ears, that cover up the shoulders, that cover up the neck, cover up most of the back, you know, and creating this microclimate that if I'm stuck in a position where I've got to walk out in the sun, you know, I've got the sunblock. It may not be, you know, the sunscreen that does or does not cause skin cancer. You know what I mean? But I've got this hat that blocks my bald scalp from getting sunburned. Again. You think that would be a lesson that a bald guy would learn the first time around, but wrong. Nope, I gotta learn that lesson over and over and over again. I'm not bald. I got hair up there, but the centerpiece is thinning out pretty well. To wear just a regular ball cap, you know, that leaves my ears exposed. That leaves my, you know, my neck exposed. It leaves a lot of me exposed to the sun. And I don't like sunburns, okay? But I'm looking at these really wide brimmed hats, and I'm kind of partial towards those, and I keep calling them sombreros, and I don't know if there's a bunch of different names for them or not, but they look like they're made of natural plant material, like grasses and whatnot, and if so, to be able to make one for myself, right? Make that thing and wear that thing and that be my hat, you know, and learn how to repair it or get so good at making them that it doesn't take 3 weeks to make, you know? I can just sit down and sit in front of the fire or the TV or the radio and hang out one night and make me a hat. And grab some extra of those grasses and put them in my backpack and carry them around with me for repairs. You know, maybe, I don't know, that sounds like, you know, taking up space in my bag. You know, the more stuff you carry, the more you weigh and the longer it takes to get to where you're going, kind of thing, right? But I've got this little microclimate of my hat. You know, that's where my mind goes. You know, I get home and I turn on the TV and I start doing my, you know, my daily chores and rituals and stuff. And you know, I lose track of some of the stuff.
Yeah, which is,
you know, kind of vitally important to me that I'm doing this. Even if nobody's really listening, nobody is contacting me, nobody, you know, I've not grabbed the attention of people, that's fine. I need to do this so that I can listen to myself talk about these things. You know, maybe it turns out that this show is just notes and me talking to myself, and that's okay. I can come back another time and redo the show and name it something else and be at the house and know what it is that I'm talking about because I've gone through all the motions already. That's okay. I'm all right with it. I don't mind starting over again and again and again and again and again until I get it right. I'm all right with that. Long as I'm moving forward, you know, and it starts with little things like the hat, you know, and then, you know, moving on to clothes, you know, I mean, is it one of those things where my backpack is going to be full of clothes all the time, you know? I don't think so. I mean, trying to take two separate routes here of being, you know, being the full Sasquatch to being, you know, more of an urban-based Sasquatch, you know, that's got, you know, I've got a house or I've got my cave, right, and I've got a few items that I can store in my cave, right, and, you know, I can store them there, and I can wash my clothes, and I can perform my maintenance there. But to be at that full on out in the woods Sasquatch type of guy, you know, how far into that? How far can I go? How far is too far? How far is too much? You know what I mean? Like right now, you know, it's barely cloudy. Every once in a great while, a sun will cross the path, or a cloud will cross the path of the sun and throw down a little bit of shade. But other than that, like I'm in a transit van right now, right? I've got the air conditioner pointed at me. On number two, full cold, and I'm still sweating. Okay? It's hot outside. It may only be 90 degrees outside, but it's hot. And the sun beating down on you for hours and hours and hours and hours. This isn't just about gear. This is about mentality. This is about logistics. This is about, you know, what do I gotta do in order to make up as much time as possible? Because like right now, I couldn't be traveling right now. I shouldn't be traveling right now. Out walking in the midday sun, beating down on my bald head. I'm just begging for trouble.
stuff is going to happen between now and then. And I don't want that bad stuff to happen. So between me leaving Springfield and traveling west to Joplin on foot, you know what I mean? You got to think about, all right, well, I'm not going to be able to make the 5-day trip. It's going to take more than 5 days to walk from Springfield to Tulsa. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be able to travel in the midday sun. I'm not going to be able to travel from like 8-9 o'clock in the morning until 8-9 o'clock at night. Or at least, you know, 7-6ish. You know, and that feels a little bit kind of like pushing it a little, you know? It's still pretty hot at 6 or 7 o'clock in the afternoon. It's still sunshiny, pretty bright, 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening, right? I'm not going to be able to travel during that time. And then at night, you know, that's another one of those, well, do I push my luck and travel at night knowing that there could possibly be some sort of an ambush set up, you know, a roadblock that finds me and the people that stop me are so hungry that they're willing to kill me and consume my flesh, right? Or steal all my stuff, you know, and it makes all of these little factors make the trip that much longer. You know what I mean? And I really think that it's one of those things that, you know, I want to use that as something like a pseudo goal or something to aim for that you know pushes me in the right direction. You know what I mean? To have my hat, to have my clothes, to have my backpack, my kit full of helpful gear. You know what I mean? And go from there. That's for me, that's where my minimalist mind and my survivalist mind intersect. Like I was in the prepper/survivalist game for a little bit before minimalism, and I got out of survivalism because of minimalism, and now survivalism is bringing me full circle to this place of, all right, cool. I've gotten rid of all of my stuff. Now what? And I don't want to look at it as survival. It's kind of like I've said before, the idea of primitive survival skills. Like I can bend the phrase to the idea of falling back on these skills that our primitive ancestors had in order to survive to the next thing, right? But it also kind of puts a bad taste in my mouth, the idea that our primitive ancestors were just surviving. They weren't living. They didn't, you know, they were they were surviving until something better happened. They were surviving until electricity was invented. And the wall sockets and refrigeration and the internet. You know, they were just surviving until then. They weren't going to truly be living until now. Being at the apex of evolution here, us humans with our modern technology and how smart we are, and we're so fantastic that we're gonna colonize a planet that is way too far away and way too expensive and costs way more money per project than there actually is money on the planet. Right? To do that, whether or not it's, I'm not gonna lie, there's a part of me that wants it to be all the time, right? But I'm old and fat and squishy, and I've gotten pretty comfortable in the modern technology world with, water heaters and dishwashers and stuff like that. I'm not gonna lie, I've gotten pretty comfortable, and I'm gonna find it hard to give that up if the time comes where I have to give it up, right? But if and or when that time comes up, I wanna be ready for it. I wanna have those skills. I wanna be able to go out into the wilderness and say, here's food. Myself, feed my family, feed my tribe, you know what I mean? And to be able to be comfortable, be able to not freak out. That's my goal. That's a goal. That is something I strive towards. Right? And I'm as much of a advocate as I have become for the plant-based lifestyle, I know that eventually it's going to come up that I'm going to have to take a life. Okay. In the grander scheme of things, zooming out from being a human, zooming out from being an animal, zooming out from being a Buddhist, zooming out from being, attempting to become a spiritually enlightened being, okay? I accept the possibility that in order for my life to continue, I must consume the life of another living thing, whether it is an animal, whether it is a plant. Okay, I'm listening to Neil deGrasse Tyson on the Joe Rogan podcast. Right, and he just got done talking about there's only like a small handful of things that we eat that was never alive in the first place, and it's water and honey and milk and salt and stuff like that. And we're like, man, that is a perspective to look at, and that is, that those plants that I'm yanking out of the ground are alive, and I'm killing them, and I'm consuming their life force energy in order to live, right? So that kind of amplifies my mindset, or augments my mindset of, I'm not just doing this because I don't want to kill a living being to fill my belly, and I don't have to. That is not a requirement of me at this point in time. I don't have to do that. All right, but if and or when the time comes that I do need to, you know, then to do it, you know, with as much love and respect and compassion as I can, and being as quick about it as I can possibly be, you know, and not to be overly, you know, not to overhunt or overfish, you know what I mean? Just like with the plant life in the area, it's possible to over harvest and, you know, kill the tree or kill the plant, you know, and I know it's not exactly the same, but kind of, sort of, you know, if you eat all of the apples that are in the orchard, right, eventually the orchard is going to die out if you don't plant those seeds. You see, kind of see where I'm going here? Same with the tomatoes and peppers and stuff like that, right? But I don't know. I guess that kind of melts into another episode, right? So, but for now, I'm back at the warehouse. I need to get off here and get moving along with the rest of my day. Have a fantastic one. Like, follow, subscribe, share with a friend, okay? Especially the interacting with me part. Let me know what you think about the show. I bring up a lot of stuff. Just grab a topic and run with it. Let me know what you think, all right? Until then, I'll talk to you later, man. Goodbye.